Mary and the disciples were praying together, and the Holy Spirit descended upon them, and they descended as tongues of fire upon them, and they were able to go out and preach with great authority, and they were able to also heal those who were sick, and many were converted. These are the same guys who were hiding before the Holy Spirit behind closed doors for, as the scripture says, fear of the Jews. They thought the Jews were going to come and do to them what had been done to Jesus, and they were scared. They spent these 9 days in prayer. The Holy Spirit comes down, and all of a sudden, they're going out into that very same world where they were afraid and preaching. And they preached so powerfully that thousands were converted and baptized in their wake. The Holy Spirit has power. But the Holy Spirit isn't some sort of nebulous thing. It's not a thing at all. It's a person. And we're going to talk about three things today. And those three things are the person of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit because just as we spent time at our retreat talking about Jesus, we're going to spend some time talking about who the Holy Spirit is. He's a who, not a what. The second thing we're going to talk about are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Those gifts that you receive from God to enable you to grow into His likeness, to be able to become more like Him, to not be the older brother, but become more like Christ Himself. And then the third thing we'll talk about are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And the fruits are those manifestations that will come out in your life. They give you a sense that, yes, I am on the right track in terms of becoming more and more Christ-like. All good? All right. Got to hit the pointer finger. So, we're going to do a couple of things. There's some stuff on your tables. We're going to watch a video from Decision Point. That's just kind of a general overview of the Holy Spirit. On the tables, you have a little packet. If you don't have the packet, pick up a packet. Pick up a packet, any packet, right here. We're going to go through our Bible a little bit and review some things in there. And then we're going to talk about this first article, and then on the back side there's another article. Now, you're probably wondering why I'm doing all this. There's a second objective for today. I want to make sure that you understand how to use all the tools that we have available to us for these sessions. And so the videos, the handouts that you receive in the email, I want to make sure that we all understand how to work through. Can't take any chances. Can't assume anything. Your desire to go beyond the surface is critical. So, turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Now, the Holy Spirit just doesn't show up at Pentecost. Thus, doesn't show up after Jesus' crucifixion. The Holy Spirit was there at the beginning. And in the second verse of Scripture, it reads, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters." So the Spirit of God was involved in the formation of all of creation. The Spirit of God is there from the beginning. That's the key that we have to understand, that the Spirit of God was there. And so we, hey, come on in. So we have to not worry about where is the Spirit coming from. We have to recognize He was always there. So, when you are confirmed, the bishop is going to make a cross on your forehead with oil. And he's going to say, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what's going to happen to you at the Easter Vigil on April 11th. The bishop is going to say, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so this Holy Spirit that you're going to be sealed with is the same Holy Spirit that was here at the beginning of creation, when the world was this formless, when there was this formless void that became the world as we know it. The same Spirit who did that is now going to mark you and empower you the way those disciples were empowered at Pentecost. This is a neat, I think, definition of the Holy Spirit, and it is found in this book, Your Life in the Holy Spirit by Dr. Alan Schreck. It's a great book. I highly recommend it. The Holy God is the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Jesus is God. God the Father is God. God is the Holy Spirit, through whom God lives within us, revealing to us the truth about the Father and Jesus, and all the truths they desire us to know, and empowering us to live and to follow the way of Jesus and the Father, by which we receive the gift of eternal life. The Holy Spirit is the key to us doing all that the Father would have us to do, and the Holy Spirit is the key to us being able to get to know who the Father is. You know, this is really a continuation of last week's talk on divine revelation. When Dave talked about divine revelation, he talked about Jesus revealing the Father. And he talked about it in sort of a global terms. What I think is really neat about the Holy Spirit is we receive the Holy Spirit within us, and therefore we get some kind of personal revelation of who God is. So God comes into us and begins to speak to us and show himself to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. God is the Holy Spirit through whom God lives within us, revealing to us the truth about the Father and Jesus and all the truths they desire us to know. In us, revealing to us. Let's pick up our Bibles again. Take a look at John chapter 14. Beginning with verse 15. John chapter 14, beginning with verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's a big ask that God makes of us. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Well, if you think about all the time in biblical history before Jesus, everybody's failed at doing that. You know, they fell into idolatry of one type or another. They sinned in one way or another. But yet, Jesus begins to say, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And here's what I think is the kicker. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. He is making it possible for us to come, to know Him, to live with Him, to obey His commandments. As I said before, God does not give us something to do without giving us the power to do it. So if He's asking us to obey His commandments, He is giving us every tool we need in order to be able to obey His commandments, and that is the Holy Spirit. Let's continue on. Beginning with verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. He has talked to them about obeying the commandments and loving and keeping their word. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all I have said to you. Again, He's giving you the promise of the Holy Spirit to do all these things in our lives that we need in order to follow Jesus as perfectly as we can. Let's look at Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 24. Verse 49. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. He's told them that he wants them to do something, obey His commandments. He's told them about the Holy Spirit that's going to be sent. Tells them to stay and wait because this power to do what He's asked them to do is coming from on high. It's coming from the Father Himself and the Son. Together, they are sending the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. He showed up and He gave them power, and they were able to do things they were not able to do before, which was to begin with speak in tongues that they did not know. Peter, sweet Peter, gotta love Peter. Peter is a great, one of my favorite disciples, because Peter is, if the disciples were like a sitcom, Peter would be like the bubbly idiot, you know, that you see in every sitcom. Nice guy, everybody loves him, but he's kind of like always making a mistake. What's the name of that guy? Not Columbo, he was smart. Bart Simpson's dad.
Oh, yeah. Homer?
Homer. He would be like Homer or Al Bundy, if you're old enough to remember that show. I can't even remember the same name of it. But Peter is the guy who says, Lord, I'll never deny you, and then denies him three times. He runs away, he hides. Jesus has to call him back and say, you know, feed my lamb, feed my sheep, restore him back to the fold, because he's like gotten afraid. And yet Peter, after the Holy Spirit struck him, check out this in verse, starting in verse 14. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. This is the guy that was standing, hiding behind the doorway. And now he's standing up and addressing them. Men of Galilee and all you and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose. See, they heard him speaking in those different languages and they thought they must have been high on something. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then he goes on to testify about all this stuff. Go to verse 37. Peter has spoken with such great authority. Read this chapter. This is a cool chapter to read. Read this chapter to see how the Holy Spirit just transforms people. Now, when they heard this, Peter's message, they said, it says, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. Power brings about change, brings about conversion, brings about baptism, and more Holy Spirit coming into other people's lives. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added to that day about 3,000 souls. And they held steadfastly to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and to the prayers. Not only did they receive power, but their lives were changed. And the behaviors that they had at that point, beginning in verse 42, shows something's different about these guys since the Holy Spirit. Now, that wasn't just a story that happened in the book of Acts 2,000 years ago. This is something that can happen in our lives as well. Because God is the Holy Spirit, through whom God lives within us, revealing to us the truth about the Father and Jesus, all the truths they desire us to know, and empowering us to live and follow the way of Jesus and the Father. Empowering us. The Holy Spirit will empower us. So, who is this Holy Spirit? Let's skip this video. Who is this Holy Spirit? So the first handout you have on your table is about who is the Holy Spirit. And it talks about, and you got this as part of your preparation for tonight, today. It talks about these various roles that the Holy Spirit serves. He's a defense attorney, a teacher, an intercessor, the one that helps us overcome sin in our lives. He is both the gift and the gift giver and the pledge of eternal life. So, these two tables here, I want you to talk about Jesus as the Holy Spirit as a defense attorney. These two tables here, teacher and intercessor. These two tables, overcoming sin in our lives. And these two tables here, gift and gift giver, and you guys pledge of eternal life. You have about 7 minutes. No problem. The people who are talking about the Holy Spirit as a defense attorney. Now, I have an assignment for the sponsors. If you're a sponsor or a team member here today, you are going to practice something that I hope will help the people who are not sponsors and team members. You're going to refrain from speaking. And you are going to pray for the people who are going through RCIA that they will have some insight, some revelation, and the Holy Spirit will speak to them and through them. Now, on your tables is a prayer to the Holy Spirit. And that's what you guys are going to pray while your candidates are speaking. Now, candidates, get your copy out on the way out today, because it's a good prayer. But we want to hear from you guys today. So let's start with this table here. Rachel says that the Holy Spirit tells you what you need to say and do at the various moments you need to be able to speak.
When you face the situation in everyday life.
When you face situations in everyday life. Okay, cool. What about the rest of you guys? Anything else you want to add? Think about what Peter did. He's out there speaking, and thousands come to faith because of his proclamation after receiving the Holy Spirit. Think about doing that today. That's not going to be easy. If you don't get arrested for speaking without a permit, or speaking about Christianity, and maybe someone is offended by that, you need the Holy Spirit to get you through that kind of situation in the reality of today's world. It's really no different than it was 2,000 years ago. You need the Holy Spirit to be able to go forward and make that statement about who Christ is and what it means to live for Christ and what Christ means in your life. Because you need someone to speak on your behalf and tell you what to say to the people that you encounter. Anything else about the Holy Spirit as that advocate, defense attorney, counselor? Anything from anybody else before we move to the next role the Holy Spirit plays? Yes? Move on? Okay. We have the teacher and intercessor.
tell us what that is all about. Now, sponsors, are y'all praying the prayers? Okay, pray. Caleb.
Awesome, on our table. So back at the table, we're kind of saying that the Holy Spirit is like a compass and it's guiding you, even if you're not necessarily sure of that, to kind of lead you like the right way. Sides, they were saying that like going through this process and stuff, you're like going through something and you just happen to turn to like a page in the Bible and it has like a gospel that is like exactly what you were looking for and like answers kind of the questions you were having. That is like the Holy Spirit guiding you without knowing and teaching you and showing like its presence like at the right time. And then like, for me, what stood out was the second paragraph that says the Holy Spirit also teaches us how to pray and even prays within us when we don't know how. I kind of reflected and said people kind of find themselves in dire situations or like states of crisis if they find themselves praying even if they never had it before, and they say they kind of feel something that overcomes them. And I think that's the Holy Spirit showing that like it's surrounding you and like kind of like always within you, even if you aren't always acknowledging it. And then you kind of come across situations where you like find like the presence of God around you.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else from this table?
I mean, we were just talking about how it's hard to make people understand that there are absolute truths, and that very first line where it says the Spirit of Truth will guide you to all truth, morality wise. It's just very reassuring to have that statement. It just is self-evidential, I think, evidentiary. Aside from that, it helps, Sam was saying, to know that we have someone who's kind of praying on our behalf, and you know, like what Caleb was saying, the Holy Spirit gives you the words when you can't find them for yourself sometimes. And to be aware of that just, again, reinforces the entire message. And Jesus couldn't just abandon us. He's like, I'm going to give you a
can you imagine what it would have been like if Jesus lived, did all his teaching, left, and nobody was around to help you to understand it today? There really wouldn't be much faith left, because how do we know if we don't have the Holy Spirit to help us to understand what Jesus spoke to us or told us? Anything else from the rest of the group about the Holy Spirit as a teacher and an intercessor? All right, move right along. You guys got the fun stuff. Overcoming sin in our lives. How does the Holy Spirit help us to overcome sin in our lives? Now remember, sponsors, team members, pray. Because this is a big one. This is the one that gets everybody. Overcoming sin in our lives.
I can start. We talked through how difficult it can be to separate like flesh from Holy Spirit, because our natural tendencies, just given the world we live in and the interactions that we have, and life is life, you know, hard times come. So our natural tendencies lean towards, you know, feeling envious or even, you know, acting selfish in times, things like that. Whereas the Holy Spirit kind of helps draw us back to like God's will, mm-hmm. and to have those fruits, you know, love, gentleness, things like that.
Yes. So just being able to recognize and separate yourself, you need power greater than what you have. Thank you.
And we also talked about that. We talked about how the Holy Spirit is like an accountability partner for us. We talked about the angel and the demon on your shoulders talking, and the Holy Spirit is that angel. And then we talked about the Spirit in the flesh, and living in the Spirit is like water and oil, or oil and vinegar, or whatever you want to call it, but like they don't mix. So when you have the Holy Spirit, that's why you feel that conflict when you intentionally try to sin. So we're still going
to
sin.
Intentionally try to sin.
We do it. Yeah. We do it all the time. So when you have the Holy Spirit, you can't intentionally sin without that conflict of the conscious. So, yeah.
What else? Anybody?
I I speak for the accountability piece. Like, I'm a person that every time I've learned, I have some guardrails.
Uh-huh.
And then the Holy Spirit can be always in my life guardrail. And that accountability buddy, it's like, you can't let them down. Because at the end of the day, that's what Jesus left with us. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal. Mm-hmm. So, kind of like you trip yourself. But it works.
Most of the time it works, yes. Anybody else have anything on Jesus as the Holy Spirit as the person who helps us overcome sin in our lives? Any other general comments about that? Gift and gift giver.
Well, I thought it was pretty significant. The first page of this handout just talked about how much of a backseat role the Spirit plays in a lot of believers' lives, but that John 16 passage, like Jesus says, it's actually to your advantage that I leave so that the Spirit will come. That's a pretty big deal for him to say. It's actually going to be better for you in the long run if I leave, because this guy that's coming is going to be able to help you almost better than I can, because when he was on the earth, he couldn't be with every person, but when the Spirit came, he could be with every person. So I was just thinking that's pretty... It's interesting that from a Holy Spirit is kind of the same thing, because they can put their finger on the edge and say, like, this is the greatest way that I can help you after I leave.
Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is the biggest way that I can help you after I leave. That's a neat concept. Matthew.
I've got a question on the second paragraph, what becomes the sin.
Oh, we're going back to sin. We got the gift, now we're going back to sin. Okay. Okay.
It says, Paul clearly teaches that thanks to Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, the struggle against sin is no longer a frustrating ordeal. I think it's pretty frustrating.
That's your point.
What he means is that, but through the Spirit, like, it kind of frees us from our everyday struggles.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about this when we talk about the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And I guess the one of the ways to look at it is within the context of the fruit of the Spirit of joy. Joy doesn't mean you're happy clappy, but joy is this feeling of peace in spite of your surroundings. You feel that peace. So if you think about it, your struggle doesn't get easier in the sense that it goes away. You're going to always struggle against sin in one way or another. But you no longer struggle alone. Think about it in terms of 12-step groups. People can try to stop using drugs or alcohol on their own, and they slip and they fall. But when they are in the midst of this 12-step program, all of a sudden they have people who have gone through what they're going through and can give them guidance and help them to recognize the dangers until they can recognize them themselves and learn how to avoid them. In that sense, they haven't stopped struggling with drugs and alcohol. What they have learned to do is, instead of struggling against the Spirit, to work with the Spirit that helps them to avoid these things that make them go off the ranch. The Holy Spirit, when we work with the Spirit, it's not that those things that we find very attractive that aren't good for us stop being attractive, but someone becomes much more attractive, and that is Jesus. So if you think about it, in terms of relationships, other women don't stop being attractive, but Haley is the most attractive to you. Yeah. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit helps us to recognize, that Jesus is a lot more attractive than anything else that we might find in our lives that we want to embrace. That is above a great embrace above him, whether it is money. When we go through these Bishop Barron videos throughout the time, he always talks about money, power, pleasure, as those things that we put ahead of God.
And none of those things in and of themselves is wrong, but when you put them ahead of God, they're absolutely wrong. But the Holy Spirit helps us to keep those things in their proper order. All right, gift. Any more gift stuff? Any other gift questions?
Yeah. Well, the other thing we talked about was just how the gifts that we receive are outward focused, and just as the Holy Spirit coming enabled the apostles and early followers to build the church, it enables us to build up the church. There's kind of listed in this section, but the gifts that we receive are only able to be fully manifested when they're outward focused towards other people and towards the building of the church.
Mm-hmm. When we become better people, we speak to other people in a way that's different from if we are not becoming better. We speak a language that is about what God is doing in our lives. For example, when we receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit and we become more attuned to what God wants, people notice that there is something different about you, and then they want to know about it. So even though the Holy Spirit is doing a work within you, it is visible and external to you and helps draw people in to the body of Christ. So it works both within us and then also out in the world. Thank you. That was a good one. And then the last one, the pledge of eternal life.
All right. Thank you for helping us go deep.
Oh, thank you.
So I had no idea what this meant until I read Paul told the Corinthians that God has given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. And it was the word hearts that made me think of this. All of us have this pull where we know that something is greater out there. Mm-hmm. And that, why we're all here. We know that this is where we want to be, this is what we want to do, this is where our hearts are drawn to. So I'm thinking the guarantee is having that pull. That even though you don't have a concrete physical view of what's ahead of you, you have this mental and deep down burn inside that tells you that you are heading in the right direction. And that's the guarantee. The guarantee is that pull. And the closer you get to understanding and knowing what that pull is taking you towards, the bigger and the more vocal the Holy Spirit is. Boom.
He drops his own mic. He doesn't need anybody to do it for him. What do you guys think of that?
I like the something greater, that's for sure. Yeah. That's the feeling that people would all say.
What else? Anybody else?
To me, the word pledge is, it's a two-way street. There has to be something there for you to pledge to. Work in the nonprofit sector, and some pledge is money. It was our job as the nonprofit to give them a reason to pledge.
Right.
And then when they did pledge, or to show that we were going in a certain direction that was in line with the meeting committing to pledge. And then when they did pledge, we had to do something with that. We had to prove to them. So it's not just like a one-way street, it's a two-way street. Mm-hmm. So,
anything else? Anyone else?
I thought it was also important that it's framed as hope and not as the thing itself.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it doesn't give you license to sort of be complacent. It's just enough of a taste of what, what's being promised so that you are motivated and feel that you should continue to live your life in the way that God intends. But you don't get to rest on your laurels.
Mm-hmm.
Hope it was basically hope for that something greater, but once you in that hope and that you receive the truth, it's more of like a guarantee of
mm-hmm.
like
So, you know, one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is, or the Holy Spirit is the gift of the Father and the Son to us. The Holy Spirit is that mutual love that goes out. What I hear you saying when you talk about the hope and the pledge is you are beginning to see that cycle of giving, that the love of the Father and the Son sends us a Spirit. The Spirit then helps us to recognize what the Father and the Son has given us, and we in turn respond. And that cycle of giving and receiving, helps us to move towards eternal life. That's what I hear you guys saying. Sounds good to me. Anything else about the person of the Holy Spirit?
I know I'm a sponsor, so I'm not supposed to talk. But
all right, so let me open it up to the sponsors. Let's see if they have anything to say.
In the prayer, it did say, help me to remember that I don't know everything and that is okay. And talking through this, you might be headed this way, but I should know this and don't. Can you explain very quickly the timing of the presence of the Holy Spirit? So, like, when Jesus ascended to heaven, he gave us the Spirit. Which then, I mean, that makes sense, but seeing the Spirit in Genesis, it's like, okay, is it, explain like the revelation of the Holy Spirit to us, like in terms of timing and when it was revealed.
Well, if you can see it in Genesis 1, the Holy Spirit was always there. God the Son was always there, as well as God the Father. Later on in that first chapter, he says, let us make man in our image. In the image and likeness, we shall make him. So the Holy Spirit and Jesus were never missing from the whole scene of creation or the whole scene of being. They always were and always are. What we find is that God further reveals himself through Jesus, through the scriptures, and through the coming of the Holy Spirit in a specific way. Just as the incarnation, which Dave talked about last week, was a specific way of further revealing God to us. So Jesus came to reveal the Father, the fullness revelation of the Father. The Holy Spirit, again, comes to deepen our understanding and that revelation of who God is. So they never weren't there. They always were. If you remember, this is one scripture we didn't read, but at the beginning of the gospel, I think it's around Luke chapter 4, somewhere around there, Jesus is baptized, and the Spirit descends upon him like a dove. And the voice cries out from heaven, this is my beloved Son. The Spirit, those three never stop being together. They're never not there. But the people who were at the baptism or at that time had a better understanding than the people who were created right after that first few verses of Genesis. So we're all on a constant track of revelation. He is always doing that for us. And that's what's the beauty of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't stop revealing to us who God is, how much he loves us. Think about people's understanding. Let's go back to our gospel reflection. Think about people's understanding of God the Father and the love the Father had. And then Jesus throws these three parables at him: a lost coin, a lost sheep, and a lost son. And then all of a sudden, they have a bigger understanding of a penny. Let's just use a penny. A penny is worth turning everything upside down. I am like that penny that is worth going to find. That's a deeper revelation.
another deeper revelation. I am worth leaving everything I have, all 99 of these sheep, to go find me. And I wandered off. Another deeper revelation of Jesus's, of God's love that Jesus reveals to us. And then in the third parable, we hear about a lost son. And he's done horrible things. I mean, horrible things. He told his father basically to go to hell. I don't want you in my life anymore. And the father still took him back. And that, again, revealed to us the depth of the father's love. People before that parable didn't get that. So that revelation continues on. And what the Holy Spirit does through the gifts of the Spirit, it continues that revelation within us. So, turn the page. You can flip it over there, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if you take a look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I think we'll see a little bit more of what you guys are kind of talking about. These gifts of the Holy Spirit help us to understand in a deeper way God's perspective. And when we understand God's perspective, we understand what He's trying to do in our lives, and we get to see and understand Him in a deeper, more profound way. So there are seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're found in Isaiah, the 11th chapter. In the video that you were assigned, and in which Bishop Barron talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, he talked about the gift of wisdom, and there was this scene wherein it was clearly taken from an airplane. And you were looking down on the city. You remember that? All right. How many of you watched? All right. This would make more sense if you had watched it. But he's looking down from the city, at the city, from this airplane. And he likens wisdom to being in that airplane and being able to see from a different vantage point. Being able to see from God's perspective. Again, that revelation that's going on through these gifts helps us to see things from God's perspective and not just from our perspective. And then we get to understand a little bit better, and we can do things differently if we're looking at these things from His perspective, with His understanding, with His ways of doing things, with His strength, with His love. Does it make sense? So, in the interest of time, what I'm going to ask you to do is, you know, take a look at these gifts of the Holy Spirit and think about them and pray about them. Because those are the ways that God is opening up your eyes to see things from His way so that you in turn can begin to operate according to His way. Now, the second video you had to watch was on the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And these fruits, as Bishop Barron spoke of, let me quote him, because I thought it was pretty good. So the fruits are the opportunities. You are given opportunities to grow in each of the gifts, and the fruits are sort of the proof that you've grown in that way. So if you're looking at things from God's perspective, if you're growing in wisdom and you're operating from God's perspective. Let's say you've been married. You've been married for 40 years. And for 40 years, your husband has never put his dirty clothes in the hamper. Now, there may be a lot of gifts you need in order to deal with that. But if you think about it, God may give you the ability to grow in patience just from dealing with that situation in your marriage. You know, one of the things we teach about marriage in the Catholic Church, that it has dual purpose. In addition to being for the procreation of the children, it's for the betterment of the spouses, which means your husband or your wife is supposed to help you become a better person. Now, it may seem like a little thing, the fact that he never puts his clothes in the hamper, but what do you learn about dealing with that? What, you can easily get angry and you can easily get upset. But I think sometimes you have to begin to seek wisdom, seek God's way of looking at things and say, what do you want me to learn from this, God? Because this is crazy. 39 years, 11 months, and 29 days of crazy. I don't know if I can do it another day. So what more do you want me to know or understand? And what he might say to you, if you really pray that prayer honestly, he may say to you, you know how Jack's dirty clothes on the floor bother you? When you don't pray, that hurts me too. But I'm still here for you. And I'm going to wait for you until you want to spend time with me just as long as it takes. This is who God is. He's patient. And he's giving us opportunities to grow into who he is. That same level of patience that he has. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit equip us to be able to grow in holiness. And that holiness is manifested in those fruits. So if you think of God's counsel, the right way to do things, the gift of the Spirit. Peace might be a fruit that comes out of that. If you do things in God's order, in God's plan, then all of a sudden, you know, things may be crazy, but I'm okay with it. So there's a relationship between the gifts he gives us and the fruits that come out of our lives. So I encourage you to spend some time looking at those gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit. And then take a look at your life and see what gifts do I need in my life in order to deal with the situations I encounter? And what fruit isn't in my life that I need to get? What questions do you have? No questions? Okay. Which fruits of the Holy Spirit do you see regularly in your life, and which fruits do you lack? I'm with you, sister. I need patience. Yeah. people would just do what I tell them to do, I wouldn't get upset. What fruit do you need in your life? What fruit is missing in your life? Open it up to anybody. Sponsor, y'all been praying a whole lot. Prayed them into silence. Scripture that says, how can you love a God that you can't see if you don't love the brother that you can't? Like I said, if they would do what I said, I would love them too. So, but do you see how, you can, if you look at the fruits, you can see what's missing in your life and kind of reverse engineer it and say, what do I need in my life? What do I need to change? Where do I need the Holy Spirit to make a profound change in me so that I can be peaceful, patient, joyful? Chase, whatever the fruit may be, Holy Spirit, what do I need in order to do that? And as defense attorney, as teacher and intercessor, as the gift and gift giver, as the person that helps us separate from sin, as the one that keeps us focused on eternal life, he can say, this is what you need, and I am here to walk with you and give it to you so that you can be one with God for all eternity. Okay. Any questions before we close in prayer today? All right, everybody take one of those fancy-dancy prayers to the Holy Spirit. And we're going to close with one of my favorite prayers to the Holy Spirit. It's the prayer of St. Augustine. This is my favorite prayer to the Holy Spirit because it invites the Holy Spirit into our lives. And it asks the Holy Spirit to do some major work in us in order to make us more like God. So let's pray together. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Draw in my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love the Lord is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me, then, O Holy Spirit, that I may always be holy. Amen. I don't know what next week we're going to talk about, but I'm sure it's on the calendar, or it will be by tomorrow. So I hope y'all have a great week. Same to you.
Thank you.
So,